Hello and welcome along to the Postcast, the Racing Post's weekly Friday show brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders looking ahead to one of the traditional great weekends of winter. We've got what used to be the Hennessy, then was the Ladbrokes Trophy and now is in its first year as the Coral Gold Cup. That's the highlight. Although for many people, it's the Fighting Fifth up at Newcastle where Constitution Hill's return to action has been delayed a week. He goes up against Epitant. Can't wait to see what the boys think about that. Saturday features eight races on the unfamiliar surroundings of ITV3. That's because of the World Cup, of course. The boys will be giving us their wisdom on each of those. We'll see what else they fancy. There's some cracking action at DJ's local track, Navan, on Sunday. I'm sure he will be armed with tips there. And then we'll get the naps. First of all, though, we'll start with the Saturday ITV3 fair. Five races at Newbury, the first of which is the 120. It's the Sir Peter O'Sullivan Memorial Handicap Chase. 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs is the trip. And all these races at Newbury are open. 5-1 Cap Course, 11-2 Killer Kane, 15-2 De Machine and Zanza, 8-1 Dublin 4, Mr. Coffee, 10-1 Bar. Those are the best prices as per RacingPost.com Pro Card. Four places on offer with many bookmakers, 13 runners. And we'll start with Robbie Wilder's selection. Robbie, yeah, are you wild about again, anything mate. Here?
Myself, absolutely thrilled to put up Zanza. I think he's got everything in his favour tomorrow. I see he's been quite well backed, actually, looking at the odds. But I think there's still a bit of juice there, about 15-2, Bruce. This horse absolutely loves Newbury. He's got form figures of 1-6, 1-1 at this course. I mean, he is very well handicapped on last season's form, certainly. I mean, he was only beaten 2 lengths by Cool Cody in the Racing Post Gold Cup at Cheltenham. He's £11 lower than that now. And he bounced right back to form at Weatherby last time. I think he's just got everything in his favour, really. He's back up to 2 miles, 6.5. That'll suit. Ground's fine. So, yeah, I think Zanza will win this.
Righty-ho. David Jennings.
You're glutton for punishment, Robbie. Zanza is obviously has the potential to absolutely blow them apart off 1-3-4, but I don't know. Can you trust Zanza?
He's not a prolific winner, is he? But he does, as Robbie says, good course form.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's one of them. You're either in Robbie's camp or you're in my camp where you just have to let him win and acknowledge the fact that, yes, he's the best handicapped horse in the race. Yes, a peak Zanza would absolutely bolt up here, but just go, oh, I can't do it again. And I just can't do it again. For all that, I would love to see him win another race. I just can't do it to myself. The one that I like is Dublin 4 for Fergal O'Brien. It's interesting. This horse, I thought, on his return at Weatherby, was such an eye-catcher. Like, Conor Brace never really put him in the race. He was absolutely tanking turning in at Weatherby and never looked like laying a glove on into overdrive. Now, I think the second horse, or the third horse, Coconut Splash, in that race, I think there's a big handicap in him, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was a Dublin Gold Cup. I thought it was a strong race. I thought it was a real pipe opener for Dublin 4. Runs off the same mark here. He did well to get away with not going up in the handicap. And if you go back to his run at Newbury over this course and distance in April, when he fell or unseated Paddy Brennan 4 out, I thought he was going best of all there against Laylor. I thought he might have won. I think the track will suit him. And 8-1 is a pretty big price, I thought, about Dublin 4. But good luck with Zanza, Robbie.
Okay, we're off and running. Let's do the 155 at Newbury now. It's the Coral Racing Club handicap hurdle. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs the trip. Joint favourites as things stand at 7-2 are Walking on Air and West Balboa. And then it's 6-1 Peking Rose, 17-2 Lord Baddersley, 9-1 Current Mood, 11-1 Bar. David Jennings, you can go first. Have you got a strong fancy here?
Sickner, Robbie. Sickner. I'm going to steal thunder all around here, so I am, because... what price will you lay me? I'll tip the same horse as Robbie here, Bruce.
I don't know. You've probably had a conversation. We've had a conversation.
We've had no conversation.
Well, how would you know what he's going to tip then?
I just know.
Read the anti-postman, hasn't he?
I know. I read Robbie's email earlier in the week, the anti-postman email, and I think he's spot on about West Balboa here, who has the potential to be very, very well handicapped off a mark of 127.
What did you put him up for in the anti-post column there, Robbie?
No, I put her up for this race.
I see. It's just the midweek sniping. Yeah, exactly. I got you. Okay. Sorry, KJ. Pray continue.
Yeah, no, he made very valid points about West Balboa, who, I have to say, like, the day she won at Warwick, Queen's River was second, but it was just the way she moved through the race. She just looked like you were kind of saying to yourself, whoa, this is something really nice. And then for Dan Skelton to throw her straight into a grade one, into the Challow afterwards, like a mare to go in against Stage Star, and Gordon Elliott brought over Gringo Dobrel. Godante was in there and Lossie Mount. I thought it was interesting. She was well beaten by Stage Star, but again, she moved through the race really nice. She made an early mistake and she was quite keen, but I think 2.5 miles, new breed, long home straight, a mark of 1.27. Like Robbie, you'll tell you more. She could potentially be a 1.40 horse, which means that she's probably got a stone to play around with. Obviously, you don't know how well she is. Her first run for 332 days, but I say she's very well handicapped. There is a lot of well handicapped horses in this race, but she is surely the best handicapped of the lot.
Robbie, I want you to come in with, nah, I can't have that at all.
No, I can do that because I absolutely agree with what DJ just said. But it is a good point. There are quite a lot of potentially well-handicapped horses in this race. I mean, Walking on Air could be pretty good. I mean, he was sent off 9-2 for a grade one on his second hurdle start for Nick Henderson. But I just thought there was more substance to West Balboa's form in that Challow. I mean, it's over the course and distance. You read Dan Skelton's stable tour. This has been the plan throughout the summer. I mean, there's little not to like, really. I mean, she's off 1.27. I mean, she's surely going to be better than that. Just in throwing her straight into a grade one after winning a novice hurdle was quite significant. So, yeah, I mean, she's going to have to go close.
Okay, two very confident votes there for West Balboa in the 155. The 2.30 Newbury is the Coral Bet Bundles Intermediate Handicap Hurdle, better known for traditionalists as the Jerry Fielden. It's 2.5 miles a furlong. Only 8 runners, but very open again. 100-30 joint favourites are First Street and Pycar. And then we've got Teddy Blue at 9-2, Theatre Glory at 5s, and 12-1 and bigger the other 4. We'll stick with you, Robbie, for the first tip. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, I said First Street's a good horse. I mean, there's a lot of top-class handicap form last season. He was second to State Man in the county hurdle. Really good third in the Betfair hurdle to Glory and Fortune. But I don't think he's going to be able to give £19 to Pickar. I think this is going to be a quick-fire double for Dan Skelton. Quite highly tried as well last season. He made his debut in a novice hurdle, only beaten one length by Nappers Hill, who is obviously a top-class bumper horse and has turned into a pretty smart hurdler as well. Ran a couple of grade twos, disappointed a bit behind John Bond. But I mean, I just really like what he did in his novice hurdle return at Chepstow. I thought that was a good race. He beat Hullenbach 5 lengths. Hullenbach was a very good bumper horse last year. The form's been frank since. The fourth's come out and won easily. The third, Master Chewy, was all but going to win a novice hurdle at Ascot and pretty easily, I thought, last week. So the form's really good. He's making his handicap day of 127. He just looks very well handicapped to me.
Okay, thank you, Robbie. DJ, do you concur with that one as well?
No, this is my strongest fancy today, Bruce. I'm very keen on Teddy Blue, who can be a nightmare because he can be very keen in his races. But a bit like West Balboa in the previous race, this is a really well-handicapped horse. Was beaten by Boom Bond at Kempton in October, but Jamie Moore lost his whip that day. And I think Teddy Blue would have won if he didn't lose his whip. And also, I think Teddy Blue just needs to settle a tiny bit better than he did there. I thought there was more encouraging signs last time at Fontwell. It was a terrible race and he was 4-11. He was entitled to win the way he did. But he jumped much better and he was ridden more positively there. I thought it was a really, really eye-catching performance in a weaker race. I think that'll do his confidence the world of good. He's got so much natural ability, this horse. It's just a case of channeling his ability in the best way possible. I think experience is going to do that. And I think the fact that he's had a couple more starts now, that it's a small enough field for a Jerry Fielden, 8 runners. I hope Jamie Moore is going to be reasonably positive on him here, like he was at Fontwell. And if he does, you know, sit handy, even make the running, he's going to be a very hard horse to catch up this home straight. There was bigger price available early in the week. There's still plenty of 9-2 available. I'd be very, very surprised if he went off anywhere close to 9-2.
Interesting. Right, then, that's a quick quiz for you. What day is it?
Black Friday.
Yes, well done, TJ. Now, normally, I absolutely loathe all things to do with Black Friday, but this is a good offer. We've got a special Black Friday offer for you when you join Racing Post Members Club, which is the ultimate subscription for racing fans. You get unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. every evening. That's the best thing about it. So 9 p.m. in the evening, You get the next day's Racing Post delivered to your phone or your iPad or your computer. It's a brilliant reading experience. It's really, really good. Loads of exclusive tools to help you with your form study, all the expert views. If you subscribe today using the code BLACK22, you pay just £10 a month for your first 3 months. So for the next 3 months, 92 days or whatever it is, you get 92 editions of the Racing Post for a tenner. No, for 30 quid, it's a tenner a month. But it's still ludicrous value. See the link in the description for all the details. Treat yourself there because Racing Post Members Club really is the best value around if you're a racing fan. Right then, advert over. Let's look at the big race of the day. It's the Coral Gold Cup. Like I say, it used to be called the Hennessy. Then it was called the Ladbrokes Trophy. I hope it's going to be called the Coral Gold Cup for a great many years to come because I don't really like all these name changes. It takes place at 3:05 at Newbury. Over 3 miles and 2 furlongs, we've got 16 runners. Let's see what we've got by way of extra places. Everyone is at least 5 places and Skybet are 6. It's really, really open as you'd expect. As things stand, according to the Racing Post Pro Card, it's 7-1 the field and the favourite is Lamilos for the Skeltons. And then Corrock Rambler and Jericho Rocky are 8-1 along with Remastered and 3 under through 5. Bustleton 17-2, Fiddler on the Roof 9, Oscar Elite 9, Our Power 12, and it's 14 bar. And David Jennings is going to have first crack at this race. Who are you going to go for, DJ?
Lovely race, isn't it? There's no, yeah. We're not going to get Denman's in this race anymore, and Bobsworth and that like. But lovely, lovely race, competitive. So unlike last Saturday, it's just great to have a proper betting heat that's competitive. That cases can be made for so many, and I'm going to try and make the strongest case I can for Oscar Elite because I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race, and I think he's got the best jockey in the race, and I think he's got the right profile for the race. I think there's a lot of things, a lot of boxes that he ticks. And another one is a wind operation. It's only a second run after he had that wind up. He ran in that grade two staying hurdle behind Prashkima at Wetherby as a pipe opener for this. Was a bit awkward up the straight there. That wasn't the plan. This is the plan. Off 1.39, I think he's a well-handicapped horse. I thought his run in the Ultimate was extraordinary because at the halfway point, Harry Cobden was exactly where he didn't want to be. He was after shuffling back through the pack and he had to make ground at points in the Ultimate where I hate horses making ground at Cheltenham. He was making ground coming down the hill. He was passing horses quicker than he wanted to be. Ideally, he would have preferred to be much handier going out onto the second circuit, but he kind of got shuffled back. He still managed to lead over the last there and was just ran out of it by Corrock Rambler. He actually bled that day, which is a little bit worrying. But this is his time and he's going to get like one shot at a big handicap. He's going to run well, I'm pretty sure of that. I think horses like Oscar Lee get one shot at winning a big handicap, and this is his shot. I don't think he's going to be off a mark in the 130s for too much longer. Like, you go back through his form, and he's got cracking form, like Albert Bartlett form and all that kind of stuff. So he's a well-handicapped horse that jumps well, that's got the best jockey in the race, that's been trained for the race. I think he's got the right profile, and that's why I think Oscar Elite is going to win the 2022 Coral Gold Cup.
A beautifully made case, DJ. Eloquent as ever. Now, Robbie, we were in the Racing Post office in London yesterday, and we're having a big old chat about this race, and lots of people were fancying Oscar Elite, I think including you, am I right?
Yeah, you're spot on, Bruce, yeah. Really like the horse. Put him up for the Ultima last year. I thought he ran a cracker that day. I mean, it is a concern that he has bled a couple of times, but on his last 2 runs, he hasn't, so maybe he's got over that. I really liked his comeback at Wetherby over hurdle.
Sorry, can you just explain bled for people who might think that, you know, there's some sort of ghastly welfare issue?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, when you say bled, it's just talking about a nosebleed, essentially. I'm not sure exactly.
It's a manifestation of burst blood vessels in the nasal region, I think. Yeah, is that right, exactly. DJ? You're a qualified vet, aren't you?
Yeah, it is. It's just burst of blood vessel. Yeah. It's burst of blood vessel. Like horses, it's not a good thing because it's when the pressure is put on, they just can't withstand that pressure sometimes. And that tends to be why horses bleed. But, you know, so many horses bleed and can still win. It's still, you can still be a very good horse and burst blood vessels.
It's actually another of racing's expressions that does need changing because it doesn't sound great. If people just said he had a nosebleed, it would be a lot less kind of sinister sounding. But anyway, yes, back to your case for Oscar Elite.
Yeah, it's a good point. But no, I really liked his comeback run at Wetherby over hurdles. I mean, he travelled very well into the race. He was sort of had plenty to find on the figures, but he just seemed to blow up after the second last. I mean, it's been well advertised that this has been his long-term target for a very long time. Placed over hurdles twice in grade ones. I mean, there is a massive race in him, and if he's got over those minor issues, I think he can put it all together. Trip's fine. Second run off the wind surgery, a mark of 139. Ground's fine. Yeah, I mean, there's lots to like, and I would very much like to think that he'll be in the places, but this race, there's always a lot of well-handicapped horses.
Do you know what? I think this is actually probably my favourite handicap race of the entire year when I think about it. So to celebrate that, I'm going to ask you boys for a 1-2-3. We'll stick with you, Robbie. You're going number one Oscar Elite.
Yeah, number one Oscar Elite. Number two, 300 through five. Number three, Remastered for me.
There are some people, DJ, who if I hit them with that without it being on the running order, they'd be, oh my God, what am I going to say? But I know that you'll just have a 1-2-3 for me, won't you?
Yeah, yeah, my one would be Oscar Lee. My two would be Stable May Fiddler and Arufo. I think will run really well again. And my three would be Jericho Rock. And I want to, as it's your favourite handicap of the year, Bruce, I want a 1-2-3 from you as well, please.
I've only got my one so far, which is Remastered. I think the Pipe Horse will win. Really, really monstrously nice return. And I like Remastered. So I haven't delved down there.
Jockey bookings would have to really worry you, would it?
Why?
Well, Tom Scudamore presumably had the choice and his picture.
I don't care. I never, ever worry about that, mate. Never, ever worry about that. I don't. I just don't think they know. I mean, sometimes they do, but honestly,
surely they know more than us, though.
Well, not necessarily. No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, it can be a really ridiculously difficult choice, can't it? You know, and sometimes they might take a chance. They might gamble and say, well,
of course
they know more than us, but they're not right the whole time. If there was anything in that jockey booking, Remastered wouldn't be the same price as Jericho Rock. That's my theory anyway. Right, so really looking forward to that race. The five-race TV card from Newbury finishes at 3:40 with the Coral Get Closer to the Action Handicap Chase for the Jim Joel Memorial Trophy. 2 miles, half a furlong, 8 runners, and we've got our first remotely strong favourite of the day at 6-4. It's Amarillo Sky, and then it's 9-2 only money. 15-2, good old Bundoran. 8-1, Eclair Danay and Monsieur Lecoq. 16-1 and bigger the rest. Back to you, Robbie, to serve first. Who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I think Amarillo Sky is a well-handicapped horse still. I think the handicap could have raised him more than £4 for his comeback win at Cheltenham. That was good. I think he might be better over 2.5 in time, but I don't think this is the strongest race at all by any means. I mean, Bundoran is, you know, 11 years old now. I think only money. I don't know how much he's got in hand from the handicap of 123 now. Eclair Danay is an interesting horse, but I think he's going to want much softer ground. So, yeah, I think this looks quite straightforward. Amarillo Sky will probably win this fairly comfortably.
Okay, cheers. Rob, DJ, what's your view on this?
We're going down together, Rob. It could be a very, very long afternoon for us, but we're tipping very similar horses. Amarillo Sky, my opening charity bet on Up in the Ante that actually won on at Cheltenham earlier on this month. I think Newbury is actually going to suit him better than Cheltenham, because when he attacks his fences, he makes a glorious shape over them. And I can just see the four fences in the home straight at Newbury. He will really, really attack them. And I think, you know, if he does just be a little easier on himself in the early part of the race, he's definitely still got plenty of pounds up his sleeve. I think this is a good piece of placing by Joe Tizard. I think these 2 mile handicap chases are his for the taking until he goes up into greater races. And this can be another step on the way there.
Thank you, DJ. Mentioned Upping the Ante. Of course, it's back. I think we've had 3 editions so far this winter. The brilliant weekly show out every Tuesday with David Jennings and the razor sharp Johnny Dineen looking ahead to Cheltenham and all the value that is contained within it. Really, really unmissable video that. We're back with Newcastle in just a sec and Constitution Hill.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big name tipping and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Also brought to you by Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders. The last two of whom are going to tackle the 3 ITV3 races at Newcastle on Saturday. The first of which is the 135, the Betfair Daily Rewards Novices Limited Handicap Chase. Over just short of 3 miles, 5 runners, but very open. Shantou Lucky, 11-4. Malinello, 7-2. Lord Rocco, 4-1. Son of the Somme, 4-1. And Big Difference, 17-2. So not a particularly big difference between the five prices, DJ. That makes it a tricky old event to pick the winner of. Who are you going to come down on the side of?
I think Malinello will go off a lot shorter than 7-2. I think the reason Malinello is that price because he hasn't ran for 686 days, which is a lifetime ago. Like, he's had a wind up. He's got a tongue strap on. So those are all kind of little negatives, obviously. But, you know, the Ben Pauling stable are in terrific form altogether. Like, Ben Pauling, in the last fortnight, has sent out seven winners. But everything he runs seems to be running well. Like, even Placehorse are running really well. Luca Morgan, terrific jockey. Four of his last 11 rides have won. With Malinello, what you've got here is a horse who's running off a mark of 1.27, who's got the potential to be a much better chaser than he was a hurdler, I think, anyway. I liked some of his performance from a few years ago. I remember the year, the time he ran against Third Time Lucky in a Huntington bumper, and just thought that day he had the potential to become a pretty nice horse, and he confirmed my suspicions then by running really well at Kempton, went on to Market Raisin where he bolted up in a novice hurdle, and that run against Flash Colognes in the context of this race I think is a strong piece of form. I have no idea how well he jumps. I really don't. He could, for all I know, he could hit every fence, but he just strikes me as the type that will do well over fences. And it's interesting that they haven't kind of dived back into the shallow end, first time back after 686 days and gone for hurdle race. They've gone straight into a novice's handicap chase. I think that's a shrewd move. And I think horses like Shantou Lucky, who Gavin Cromwell brings over, they're limited. They're not going to be spectacularly well handicapped. Malinello, I think, has the most scope for improvement.
Okay, Robbie, do you concur with DJ again? You've both been singing from largely the same hymn sheet, haven't we?
We haven't we? This is a race I didn't want to go anywhere near, Bruce, to be honest. I found it too trappy.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, hopefully you'll have a view on the next one. It doesn't look that trappy. It's the 2.10 at Newcastle, which is the Betfair Fighting Fifth, a grade one and always offers clues to the champion hurdle. We've got five runners. Constitution Hill, who was supposed to reappear last Saturday at Ascot, was pulled out because of the ground, is 2-7. Stablemate Epitont is 4-1. And then we've got Not So Sleepy at 14, Tommy's Oscar's 28, and Voix de Rêve 150. Now then, the going is currently good to soft up at Newcastle. There is not a drop of rain forecast. I must admit, I'm working from home today, so I haven't heard any vibes, but are we absolutely sure, DJ, that Hendo's definitely going to run in tomorrow?
I think so, yeah. I think it seems to be a lot more soft than good at the moment anyway. I
can't go through this again. It's
driving me mental.
Where do you stand on it? Do you have much sympathy for these stables that pull their horses out, or do you think they should just get on and run them?
No, I do. I do. I think that's why it's so infuriating, because, you know, like, if you're an...
Think they should get on and run them, or you do have sympathy for them?
No, I do have sympathy. It's like, you know, when you get into an argument with your missus and you're like, I'd be arguing with Aoife, and sometimes, like, you're in the middle of the argument and you're like, you know what, she actually has a point here, and like, do I continue? Like, I know I should have washed up the dishes. I know, God, Monday has been night, how did I forget? Like, stuff like that, when you're in the middle of an argument and then you realise she's actually right.
And do you dig in then, or do you just suddenly go, whoa, you're right.
I try and take a step back and say, okay, what would I do if I trained the horse? I hate all the language around it. I hate this safety issue. I hate if Henderson saying, if he ran last Saturday, that, you know, he wouldn't have a horse for the rest of the season, and implying that the horse would have got injured if he ran. I hate all that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But I do think he's right. I think he needs to look after his horse and his owners. He doesn't need to care about us. Okay. I know he does for the good of the sport, but he's a trainer. He has a client. He needs to look after that client. And by looking after that client, he needs to do the best that he can do for the horse. And for that reason, I think he made the right decision. But Lord, holy God, I hope he runs him here.
Absolutely. Right then. Well, he's up against two horses that have shared this prize between them in the last 3 years. Epitont won twice, Not So Sleepy. We don't really want to start encouraging people to have bets at 2-7. I think it was JP McManus who once said, if you've got the seven, why do you need the two? But where do you stand on this? Is there a betting opportunity here, DJ?
No, I don't think there is. I think he'll win. I think you really don't need to back in this race. Like, you really don't, because if you can't get excited about Constitution Hill running, then you know you're in the wrong game, really, because this is a watch and cherish moment, I hope.
And he's up against a proper horse, isn't he, in Epperton as well? It doesn't matter that they're from the same stable. You know, we see Mullins, Nichols, Elliott run their good horses against each other, and they're always competitive events. So it's a proper test for him.
Yeah, proper is probably too strong of a word. It's an okay test for him. Epperton is not the mare that won the champion hurdle in 2020, in my opinion. She was beaten fair and square, I thought, a punch down on our final start. I think Zanahir would have given her a race in the Aintree hurdle had he not come down at the last. She was second in the champion hurdle and she made a mistake at the last. So she's very good. She's just not Constitution Hill, and you know, she never was, in my opinion, what Constitution Hill could be. And you just hope he does everything right. Like, he seems so laid back that nothing seems to bother him. So you'd imagine he'd just pop out there, lob away, take it up 2 out, go on and win by 10 lengths, and probably be 4-5 for the champion hurdle. That's what I imagine will happen.
Okay, Robbie, do you see a betting opportunity here, or are you just going to sit back and enjoy Constitution Hill's return?
I actually do see an opportunity. I mean, I feel I've written and said so much about Constitution Hill already. Like, the opportunity isn't backing him. I think he'll win this easily. But I did think that Tommy's Oscar was kind of interesting in the without market. He's about 15-2 with one firm I've just opened up. But I don't think, like DJ, I'm not massively sweet on Epperton. I'm not sure she's an absolute world beater. And she's obviously first time out. Tommy's Oscar's had a couple of nice runs in chases behind him. I think it's quite a good bit of place. And I think he's definitely better than his odds apply in this. And not so sleepy. He's never one I'd trust. He's a bit quirky. He's 10 years old now as well. I think Tommy's Oscar can still improve a bit this season, to be honest. So I think I'll be looking at him in the without Constitution Hill market, and possibly in the without Epperton and Constitution, because I do think he's a better horse and not so sleepy.
Interesting. And don't forget, if you're new to betting, you're not quite sure on all the terminology, a betting without market is basically a market where you just ignore the favourite. And if your selection wins the race or finishes second to the favourite, then you win. Okay, let's look at our...
It's actually, you say that I did a column on Honeysuckle for Saturday's Racing Post, and I had this really clever idea where I said, I wonder what price would Honeysuckle be for the champion hurdle if there was no such thing as Constitution Hill. I was like, you know, she doesn't really get the credit she deserves, 16 in a row. What price would she be if there was no such thing as this freak novice Constitution Hill? So I rang, I got in touch with Paul Binfield from Paddy Power, and I said, Paul, will you do me a favour? Will you just ask your traders? I know it's a hypothetical question, but what price would Honeysuckle be if there was no such thing as Constitution Hill? Just see what they say, you know? And then he came back like a few minutes later and he goes, oh yeah, Dave, no problem. We have a betting without Constitution Hill market up there now. I was like, how stupid am I? That's all it was. A betting without Constitution Hill market.
What price is she?
Evens.
Evens. That's not bad, is it?
I thought she'd be odds on, yeah.
Okay, right then. Let's look at the 3:25 at Newcastle on Saturday, which also has a class act here. It's the rehearsal chase sponsored by the Betfair Exchange over 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs. We've got 9 runners and the market is headed by at 11-8 by Lom Press. And then it's 4-1 into Overdrive, 5 I Right, 7 Happy Go Lucky, 9 Dingo Dollar, 25 Bar. DJ, this is a cracker, this, isn't it?
And I don't fancy Lom Press.
Why?
I'd be taking him on because he's got to give 26 pounds to Into Overdrive, who I think is a really well handicapped horse. So you got to be saying that Lom Press needs to be almost your Gold Cup winner if I think Into Overdrive is well handicapped. Because if I think Into Overdrive, who's running off a mark of 138, is well handicapped and has just say 6, 7, 8 pound up a sleeve, that means that Lom Press will have to run to a mark of 170 or thereabouts on his first start of the season. And that's a big ask. I think Into Overdrive is very interesting here. Beat Dublin 4 in that 2 mile 3 race at Wetherby that I was speaking about earlier. And I give Dublin 4 a big chance earlier on in the day at Newbury. I think this trip is more Into Overdrive's thing. Finished off last season by winning at Perth, where he really was strong at the line that day under Brian Hughes. I know it was only off the mark of 123. But he got an RPR of 142 for that. He's now got 2 RPRs on a CV of 142. He's a well-handicapped horse. And could you be sure that Lom Press is a well-handicapped horse? I don't know if you could off a mark of 164. I think these are going to get closer together in the market. They're around about 11-8 and 4-1 at the moment. I'd imagine come the off, it'll be kind of 11-4 into overdrive, maybe 7-4 long press.
DJ with a very solid case for into overdrive. Robbie, what's your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, I agree again. Long press for me. Like, I mean, he's off 164, but he's not really. There's not really had the amount of rain they're expecting. Like, is the ground even going to be that much slower than it was at Ascot? I mean,
I wouldn't have thought it would. No,
probably not. I mean,
because the one thing we know about the dry summer has left the water tables very low, hasn't it? So any rain that comes does get into the ground quickly, but then drains away, doesn't it? So you can go from soft to good to soft to good very quickly. And we may well see that.
Yeah, completely. I mean, people might say, well, look, he won first time out last season, he can do it again. But that first time out run at Exeter, he was winning the handicap off 128. Like, of course, he was going to win that. He stepped forward quite a lot on his second run, £11 on RPRs. I just don't know. I think he, like DJ, I think he's probably going to have to run to 170 to beat into overdrive. Just keeps winning his races, just seemingly with plenty under the tank, to be honest. And with the run behind him, great seasonal return, beating Dublin 4, who looks quite a useful horse. Yeah, I think long press is really going to struggle to concede the weight, and into overdrive looks a pretty good bet to me.
Okay, those were the TV tips, and Robbie and DJ, they're like a choir. They've basically been following each other in on all of those. We'll see what else they fancy over the weekend in just 10 seconds.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the postcast. It's David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Bruce Millington. We've done the TV races. Now we'll see what else the boys like. We've got the undercards at Newcastle and Newbury. They're over the sticks at Doncaster and Bangor. We've got an evening meeting at Wolverhampton and in Ireland, Gowran Park on Saturday. So we'll deal with any Saturday fancies you've got before we turn our attention to Sunday. We'll start with you, DJ.
Yeah, Bruce, I have three for you at Gowran Park, where there is an absolutely corking beginner's chase to start the card at 12 o'clock. This is beautiful stuff, so it is. It is Manila Kakuna, who's favoured for the Brown Advisory, running against Journey With Me with loads of other quality novice chasers thrown in. I think this is the time and the place for Journey With Me. I fancied him last week at Punchestown, but he was taken out because of the ground. It's officially heavy at the moment at Gowran Park. This is a mud lover that won a sole point by 12 lengths, that was rated 145 over hurdles, that would have finished a decent third in the Ballymore, not falling at the last. I saw him on Monday when I was down with Henry de Bromheads. He looks a picture. I think he's going to make a cracking novice chaser. So Journey With Me to win the opener at 12 o'clock.
DJ, can I just jump in there? I've just looked at the past winners of that race. Don Poley, Bells Hill, Emmeline, and Bob Olinger. Bob Olinger. Wow, what a race.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a cracker. So I will be with Journey With Me there. I think Manila Kakuna might end up being the Cheltenham horse, but I think in heavy ground in winter, I think Journey With Me is the now horse.
2-1 Journey With Me. Manila Kakuna 6-4. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, I knew Manila Kakuna would be favourite. Like, what happened last week was Kilcrut was put in favoured the day before at 1-2. Journey With Me was 2-1. By the time Journey With Me was taken out, he was into 4-6 and 8-11. Something similar would probably happen here. Journey With Me, as you said, opened up a 2-1. He will be extremely well backed and probably go off favourite, even though Manila Kakuna is the real, real sexy one. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if they were very close in the market come the off. But I think Journey With Me will beat Manila Kakuna.
Okay, what else have you got? You've got three for us there, haven't you?
Yeah, 12:35. Melina's Glory for Owen O'Grady and Dara O'Keefe. First run over fences. Very interesting that Owen O'Grady goes straight over fences with a 5-year-old. The way he jumps hurdles, he jumps them big. And I'd say last time when he ran a Clonmel, he was third to a good horse called Halibut, but he was up with the pace the whole way. Jumped hurdles big. I think he'll make a nice chaser. This is a beginner's chase, restricted horses rated 102 or lower over hurdles. So I think he's got more to offer over fences. So Melina's Glory to beat Willy Wampus, who's likely to be a short price favourite here, having finished second to Kilcrut last week. I think Melina's Glory will turn him over. And my other one is in the 140. which is always quite an informative novice hurdle, actually, this 140. It's a good race this year. Imagine is in there. I know the way you're thinking is in there. But Spanish Harlem runs for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend after winning just the one hurdle race at Auteuil, and was quite impressive there because he was given plenty to do that day by Clement Lebervoy or something like that, and was well on top of the line. Willie Mullins does tend to run good horses in this race.
Duvan won it. Sharjah won it.
Yeah, but even closer than that, Bruce, if you look back at 2020, a horse, I'm not sure if you heard of him, but he goes by the name Galloping the Champs, was actually beaten in this race. He was 10 to 11. He was beaten by C. Ducker, and Galloping the Champs is probably one of the best horses in Trown at the moment. So Willie does tend to aim his best or close to his best novice at this race, and it's very interesting that he runs Spanish Harlem here. So take note of that, Bruce.
Splendid. Robbie, what have you got for us on Saturday? Don't give your nap away.
Well, we're a bit out of breath listening to that. Nothing else for me on Saturday. On Sunday is what I
say. Well, let's go straight to Sunday then, Robbie.
Yeah, let's do it, Bruce. Yeah, got 3 feet at Navan. The Monksfield Novice Hurdle Grade 3 at 120. Got American Might running in that. Obviously, he's going to be a short price, but there's five runners. I think I might have an each-way bet on 3 Carl Bragg. I really liked his run last time over 2 miles at Navan, this course again behind Hercules the Soar. I think that's quite a good race. He was flat out for most of the second half of it, and he stayed on really promisingly. He's going to love this extra 4 furlongs, and Elliot seems to rate him quite highly. The second one is in the Troy Town at 220, big handicap. Old friend of mine, Schoolboy Hours, returning. He's got an outstanding record fresh. I think he can go well there. He's still quite lightly raced and run at Navan before. And the final one, a really nice beginner's chase. Got some old faces in it. Sam Roy, good time Johnny. He was a good horse last season. Slip of the tongue, grade 3 winner. But Phil Dore would be my selection there, making his first start over fences. Cashes in for the 4-year-old allowance, a bit like Riviera Tell did last season. I liked his comeback behind Brazil. 2 miles looks too sharp for him, but over fences, they should go a little bit slower and it should help. So, yeah, I think Phil Dore.
That's in the 250.
Well, I didn't say, did I? Yeah.
No,
Phil Dore in the 250.
No.
So, there's your 3 at Navan.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Sorry, DJ. You probably feel very, very cross that I didn't let you have first crack at the Navan action.
No, sure. Myself and Rob are on the same page with a lot of things this weekend. Okay, so yeah, Phil Dore, very, very interesting. Obviously, you know, you'd be imagining with the 4-year-old allowance getting £8 from Santois that he'd win the 250, that beginner's chase. Now, the Tritown chase at 220 was a race that I thought Ain't That a Shame would win, but Ain't That a Shame hasn't been declared this morning, which is a little bit frustrating.
Ain't That a Shame.
Ain't That, hey. This is probably not what I should be doing, because really you need to, you know, go into form detail when you fancy a horse. But I think Fighter Allen is too big of a price at 14 to 1 for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. Like, this horse was backed into 11 to 10 favour from a morning show of like 7 to 2 to win the Grade 2 chase on Ladbrokes Champion Chase Day at Down Royal. He was very keen in the early part of the race, and he did too much too soon. Like, he's only rated 144. They obviously think he's at least 150 horse if he was backed so strongly to beat Fury Road and the likes in that race. Like, there was only 4 runners, but it was a strong race, and he was a heavily supported favourite to win it. You know, some of his form suggests to me that he's a very nice horse. Like, when he won at Tramore in April, he absolutely bolted up that day and jumped really well. Then he went to Punchestown and he fell at the first when he was the choice of Paul Townend over El Barra in that big novice handicap chase. I'd say he's very well handicapped. He hasn't proven it yet, but he's the type of horse that's 14 to 1 now. Like, I could see him going off 13 to 2. So I'd advise punters to take the 14 to 1 about Fighter Allen. Now, earlier on in the card, there's a few nice horses running. Kuda Sheva runs in the 12:50, a maiden hurdle. I'd say she's a nice horse. I'd say she's very nice. So keep an eye on Kuda Sheva in the 12:50. And just one other one from me, Bruce, I'll get the times right now. Here we go. In the bumper, the 3:20. It's a listed mare's bumper. Gornelia's got Miss Augusta in here. You've got, he's also got Molly's Mango. But Lily de Berlay is 2 from 2. She probably, you know, she had to fight to win that bumper at Leopardstown when she was 40 to 1. But it's interesting that, like, it was a good bumper and there were some really good mares in behind her that day. The likes of the likes of Astro Diamond, Liberty Dance, Park, Pink in the Park, Harmonia Maker. It was a good race, and Lily de Berlay beat them. She's got the experience of last season in bumpers. I'd say Stuart Crawford has had this race in mind for a while, so Lily de Berlay in the 320.
Thank you very much. Let's get the naps now.
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
We know yours, DJ, because you've already played your joker. So remind us who that one is.
Just get the time for you now. It is indeed Teddy Blue in what we know as the Jerry Fielden hurdle, which is the Coral Bet Bundles Intermediate Handicap Hurdle, 2:30 at Newbury, Teddy Blue.
That's on Saturday. And Rob, what's your nap?
Yeah, West Balboa, 1:55 at Newbury on Saturday.
Okay, guys, thank you very much indeed. I must say thank you also to World Cup organisers, because the after 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday is Poland versus Saudi Arabia. So not one of the higher profile games, which means that everyone can sit down and enjoy a fantastic afternoon of TV racing. As we always say on the show, please do bet responsibly. And as we also always say, do please join us for some great videos from the Racing Post stable next week on Monday. We've got the front page. Tuesday, we've got Upping the Ante, as well as Steve Palmer and myself with the sweet spot. What else have we got? We've got Mark Langdon's Bets Club with all the latest World Cup match value. That's out on Thursday. And then we're back next Friday with another postcast looking ahead to a fantastic Tingle Creek. Hope you can join us for that.